you can rely on Atlas Butler for all of your plumbing and drain service needs. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. One call truly does it all.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is a podcast by The Straits Times.
Hello, I'm Sumiko Tan, executive editor of The Straits Times. Welcome to the Lunch with Sumiko podcast series, where I get up close with newsmakers over lunch and a selfie.
There's good ways to do it and there's bad ways to do it. The biggest risk of being friendly is if you end up like attracting the terrible people, right? Like the thing with the crypto space is that it's very high variance. And the problem is that if you get a certain kind of reputation, it's like very easy to accidentally attract all of the Duke ones.
In 2013, 19-year-old Vitalik Buterin published a white paper on a new blockchain system he called Ethereum. He and several others developed it, and the network went live 2 years later. Ethereum is an open-source, community-run platform that powers thousands of decentralized applications. Its digital currency, Ether, is the second largest in the world after Bitcoin. Mr. Buterin is now a director at the Ethereum Foundation. This is a non-profit body dedicated to supporting the technology. I'm Sumiko Tan, executive editor of The Straits Times. I'm meeting Mr. Buterin at Dao Paulo in Great Wool City. He tells me how there are good ways and bad ways to deal with the brave new world of blockchain and cryptocurrencies.
What do you think of like the Singapore's approach to crypto and blockchain? The MAS approach.
I definitely appreciate the amount of effort that they've been putting into it and just like their willingness to explore many different kinds of applications and be supportive. Interesting, their willingness to trying to like make a distinction between blockchain usage and cryptocurrency is like one of those weird things, right? Because it's like on the one hand, it's sort of the mindset that every regulator has, want to be supportive of technology and making things easier for people, but like, you know, you find cryptocurrency weird and scary. But on the other hand, cryptocurrency do have this tight connection with each other. You can't really have one without the other, right? Like I think some of the regulators in China definitely sort of tried to have one without the other, and like the reality is, you know, if you don't have cryptocurrency, then like the blockchains that you're going to have are just fake and nobody's going to care about them. But I guess the line that they're trying to take is they're trying to like discourage cryptocurrency speculation, but they're not actually banning it. And like, you know, people here who want to like, you know, buy, sell and have cryptocurrency still can if they want to. There's even like banks that support cryptocurrency custodial services. Possibly a good, I think it could be a good balance.
Do you track the price of Ethereum like really, really closely?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, but not always.
Have you ever speculated at all in any crypto?
Not really. I just buy and hold things.
But some of the like smaller countries are into cryptocurrency.
They are, yes. Yeah. I mean, some have gotten like much further, right? Like there's a couple of small ones that have like e-residencies that are on the blockchain. Definitely a lot of like small countries where the government is very involved.
What are your views on that? Is it like safe?
It depends on how they do it. Like I think there's good ways to do it and there's bad ways to do it. Like I think the biggest risk of being friendly is if you end up like attracting the terrible people, right? Like the thing with the crypto space is that it's very high variance, right? Like you have these just really amazing and genuine people like you know, Zuko, for example, and then you also have like Duke Wan. And the problem is that if you get a certain kind of reputation, it's like very easy to accidentally attract all of the Duke Wans. I mean, in Singapore, it's definitely true to some extent that the crypto space has not been sending its best, right? Like there's like Duke Wan, actually himself spent some time here, and then some of the people who were involved in the Luna collapse. And part of that was like China stuff, right? Because like would be as a result of the Chinese regulation. But then part of that is like if you're friendly, then you know, people who can't get anywhere else will come. I appreciate the like the tough balance and kind of the position that Singapore and the MAS are in there. And that's like, it's definitely true that like if a country is not smart about it, then you know, they can easily end up just like being stuck as being, you know, the base for all of the Duke One people. And that's not necessarily something that a country would want. But on the other hand, like, it is, I think it's definitely possible to engage productively and get a lot of benefits.
Do you see any danger of Ethereum being used for not so good purposes? What can you do about that?
Yeah, I think a couple of those things have happened, right? Like, there have been DeFi hacks and those kinds of things. The thing that we can do just as a community, and that I think we've done fairly well at, but we can do better, is just not have a community that's supportive of that kind of behavior. This is one of my criticisms of the Bitcoin community, for example, right? Is they just automatically love everyone rich and powerful who supports Bitcoin, right? So if you remember the El Salvador situation last year, right? The president of El Salvador announced at a conference in Miami that there would be this Bitcoin law that would require people in El Salvador to use Bitcoin. And a lot of Bitcoin people just kind of ignored the facts that El Salvador was Bukele's government was this very not democratic government that actually has a lot of problems and is actually not that good at respecting people's freedom, and they just kind of let themselves ignore that because look, a country is adopting Bitcoin. And a lot of them went up on stage with him and kind of helped promote El Salvador. But then what happened is his entire thing was based on Bitcoin continuing to go up and up, and then Bitcoin ended up going down, and now it just looks terrible and not many people are using it. Basically, just because the way the Bitcoin adoption was done was very top down and forced, it just ended up not being very sustainable. That's an example of the kind of mistake that a cryptocurrency community could do to enable bad behavior. But I think in that particular case, the Ethereum community did dodge the bullet, right? And there's a reason why Luna was not built on Ethereum. I think the most that we can do as a community is just kind of be active in supporting good things and opposing bad things. And then aside for that, it's what else can we do? There's things that regulators can do. There's things that we as a community can do to educate users. It is something that everyone will have to kind of play some part of. There's a limit to how much bad activity you can prevent, but because it is an open system and the nature of the system means that it has to be open. But there are lots of things that we can do, and there's a lot that we are doing, and probably more that we could be doing.
So you do call out things on Twitter, for instance.
I do.
Right. How does it feel to be so lauded?
So what?
Lauded.
Oh, weird.
You haven't got used to it.
I guess somewhat used to it, but
Do you think there are things people misunderstand about you?
I'm sure.
From what you've read, does anything really bug you?
Good question. I feel I don't know. I feel everyone kind of projects parts of themselves onto me, and it's weird. And sometimes I see a description of myself and I just totally can't relate to it. Sometimes, when people on Twitter make these memes of myself with, the really big muscles and I don't know. Actually, I'm not that kind of person at all.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah.
They had a funding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you laugh or were you angry?
I think I laugh.
If there's any city that you feel is home, which city would that be?
I feel maybe Singapore more than anywhere else now, actually. I feel in the last 5 years, it might be the place or the city I've spent the most time, somehow.
Okay, thanks very much for having lunch. Well, that's a wrap for this episode of Lunch with Sumiko, a podcast series by The Straits Times. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. Check out my previous interviews with newsmakers, and don't forget to subscribe to Lunch with Sumiko on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts.
That was a podcast by The Straits Times. Send your feedback to podcast@sph.com.sg. Find us on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or via the Google Voice Assistant and Amazon Alexa-enabled devices. For more podcasts by The Straits Times, The Business Times, and Money FM 89.3, you can also download the Audio by SPH app. That's AWEDIO.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at an historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. That's tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.